The Guardian.
David Davis, have events gone as you expected since your announcement on June the 12th that you were resigning as an MP and as Shadow Home Secretary?
Broadly, yes. In some sense, it's actually better than I expected. I mean, before I did all of that, I sat down and calculated, as it were, what I thought the consequences were. I mean, I pretty much came to the conclusion I was going to end my cabinet career, or putative cabinet career. I thought I might put my seat at risk if Labour challenged me, because the issues we're talking about, at least in theory, they have the popular advantage of to start with. And I knew that I'd get attacked by the Westminster press, because that's the nature of the Westminster press. If something very sudden and shocking and different comes up, then they tend to be pretty critical. All of those things happened. What's been slightly better than I thought was the speed with which the sort of popular reaction has become more the conventional wisdom, that the press are seeing that actually the people in the country see this as a principled stand, not some incredibly convoluted plot of some sort. So that's one half. The other thing where I've been quite pleased is the Prime Minister did actually make a speech about the subject, albeit only in a rather cosy think tank environment, and started to talk about the issue, which is a good thing. ACPO, the Association of Chief Police Officers, begin to accept that some of the more intrusive aspects of the state in Britain may be going too far. And the Local Government Association actually started a review of exactly that. So in some respects, the debate is already underway. People are taking interest. And of course, I've had a massive number of letters and emails of support. I mean, thousands upon thousands. I've lost count now. Many thousands anyway now.
You've been praised for your bravery fighting this by-election, but wouldn't it have been braver to remain in the shadow cabinet and fight the next election? Because if you won, you could be running the Home Office, make all these things happen, scrap ID cards in 42 days and safeguard our civil liberties.
It's going to happen anyway. The man who took over from me is Dominic Grieve, who's been my sort of right hand the last 4 or 5 years on these issues, and he will be at least as good, if not better than me, doing that. And indeed, the day after I stood down, he announced that under him the policy would be to return to 28 days from 42.
Why didn't you take a stand against 28 days? What is it about 42 days that has caused you to take this drastic action?
It's a good question, because at the time, if you remember, what Blair was after was 90 days. Now, he rather bounced that on everybody, including his own Home Secretary, I suspect. And so we had to make a decision pretty quickly as to where we would draw the line in the parliamentary sand. Now, I would be being disingenuous if I didn't say that some of it was about where we could draw the line that we could win. I mean, if no point being defeated and giving away 90 days. But the most important thing was I spoke to a number of police officers and said, OK, what is the real situation at the moment? And a number of them said, we are finding ourselves with evidence coming in at day sort of 10, 11, 12, 13 on a 14-day limit. And I thought, well, that's quite dangerous. We may end up with people being released unnecessarily or improperly, rather. And so I considered 28 days was as much as I could in all conscience concede, and that's really, it was as crude as that. It was done very fast and as crude as that. And I happen to think that if we implement the use of intercept evidence in court, the use of post-charge questioning, and a number of other mechanisms which have gradually been percolating through the law, we'll be able to reduce it below 28 days in due course. But that's yet to come.
Assuming that you win this by-election, if David Cameron offered you a front-bench job other than Shadow Home Secretary, would you accept it?
I've taken a self-denying ordinance on that, because, look, firstly, I accept that if I don't get a front-bench job, it's my fault. Nobody else's. You know, I did this. I didn't consult anybody for good reason, but nevertheless, from their point of view, they weren't consulted. And so, you know, if I don't get if my cabinet career is over, so be it. That's my responsibility. And I'm not going to offer speculation on hypotheticals, because I don't want to put David under any pressure of any sort to offer me anything. I think he's going to make his own decision on the basis of what's right for the party, and the longer run, what's right for the country. So I'm going to leave it at that.
And David Cameron's coming up to Halton Price and Howden to campaign alongside you this week.
That's right, on Wednesday. That's right.
Are you looking forward to seeing him?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't get it wrong. I mean, we were friends before, we're friends now. We haven't fallen out. We have a difference of view on some aspects, but it's, we haven't fallen out.
Did you regret when you stood against David Cameron in the leadership election, posing with two women with "It's DD for me" on their T-shirt?
Well, I didn't even know that that was on the T-shirt until it actually happened. So there we are. Well, you, no point going through life with regrets, you know.
By-election, you do run the risk of it becoming a circus. I mean, Labour and Lib Dems aren't standing. I mean, who are you really fighting against?
Well, let's differentiate. Lib Dems are not standing, and UKIP and other parties, and some other parties, are not standing because they agree with me, and that's a perfectly honourable and sensible position to take. But the Labour Party's position is it's not standing, not because it agrees with me, but because it doesn't want to get involved in the debate. And you want some further evidence of that, you will find that no cabinet minister is being allowed to debate me, because we've invited them all. No past Home Secretary is being allowed to debate me, because we've invited them all. And no local MP is being allowed to debate me, because we've invited them all. And they've all turned us down. They are afraid of the debate. Now, this is, in many ways, is ludicrous, because on something like 42 days, they claim to have 69% public support. I undertook to fight the campaign solely on the range of civil liberties and liberty-related issues that I listed at when I stood down. And so they should, in theory, have had a good chance of defeating me, and they didn't take that that challenge up. So I'm afraid if the Labour Party take that stance, if Gordon Brown takes that stance and sort of skulks in Downing Street, then the public can draw their own conclusions.
But, you know, irrespective of whether Labour was right or wrong to stand in it, I mean, you know, you are left fighting David Icke, Miss Great Britain, Mad Cow Girl, you know, it's sort of a, you know...
I don't think that's where the argument's going to be. I mean, this week I'm going to have a debate, care of your sister paper, The Observer, on Thursday, in which we'll be debating the erosion of liberty in Britain. Next week, I'm going to be having a debate with Tony Benn at the Festival Hall on freedom and democracy. We are going to be having a series of other discussions and debates around this issue, and it won't stop in 10 days' time. It'll go on beyond 10 days' time. As I said, we've already got some movement on the part of a number of institutions recognising this is an issue here. A number of newspapers are understanding it too, and beginning to take more of an interest, become sensitised to the issue. And I think if what I achieve is to make it more difficult for the government to misrepresent its actions as being in the interest of security rather than simply erosive of liberty, then I'll have been successful.
I mean, important though erosion of our liberties are, I mean, isn't it a bit arrogant to tell the people of Holt and Price and Howden that this is the issue they've got to vote on in this election? I mean, maybe they'd rather discuss issues such as health, education, the economy.
Well, if they think that, if they think I'm being arrogant, I suspect they'll vote against me. But what I'm saying to them is, look, we have been given a corrupt decision by the government. A couple of weeks ago, we won the argument in the terrorism debate. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anybody will tell you different. But the government bought the result. And what I'm saying to the people of Holt and Price and Howden is, help me in giving a message to Gordon Brown that this is the wrong way both to deliver law, but it's also the wrong law to deliver. And to that I'm attaching, as I say, the other areas of liberty where they've been eroded over time. Because, frankly, I mean, quite properly, in your profession, people, you know, pick an issue, then move on to another issue, then move on to another issue. What I want to do for a few weeks is to get people to focus on a single set of issues so that we have a chance of moving public opinion at least a bit, and to elevate the profile of those arguments so that next time an issue like this comes along, it's debated in a rather more open and well-informed way.
But, you know, you say you won the argument. A lot of people would agree with that. You know, you've convinced the rest of the Conservative Party to take this line as well as yourself. You know, you told The Guardian last week that you were happy to be a loner when it's necessary to be a loner. Why was it so necessary to go it alone on this? When you had the Conservative Party agreeing with you, you know, a lot of the public and the press agreed with you on this.
Well, not a lot of the public. I mean, bear in mind in theory that some 69% are in favour of 42 days. I don't actually believe it. I think it's just the way the question's put, in truth. But it's not obvious the public with us. It's also not obvious, frankly, it wasn't from the beginning necessarily the case that the press were with us. It's only only been the last few months that we have won that argument in the public domain. But I thought this needed to be elevated above the sort of ordinary run-of-the-mill politics in Westminster, because I think it's something of importance to the whole country. And actually that's what's been reflected in the mass of emails and letters. I mean, they are just unbelievable, the numbers of letters and emails coming in. Emails these in this day and age probably do come in large numbers, but even just a simple physical letters, huge numbers of them. Telephone calls, huge numbers of them. Contributions, you know, I think we've got something like £40,000 in small contributions, not the bigger ones, in small contributions. People who really care about this enough to take action on it themselves. And in that respect, as I say, it's already been a success.
And in terms of the number of votes cast, what would be a satisfactory outcome from this
by-election? I've no idea. It is undoubtedly the case that there'll be a low turnout, because there will be people saying, well, David's going to win anyway. You know, and even supporters of mine may well think that and think, well, if it's a wet day or, you know, it's they're at the Yorkshire show or whatever, they won't have time to get back. So it'll be a low turnout. We know that. My main concern is about the ongoing argument, making sure the argument continues. The discussion continues, and that people are aware of these issues, which are, in my view, eroding the basis of our society as we understand it.
David Davis, many thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.